Come, Father, by your Spirit, and teach us. Make us more like Jesus, and build your church for your glory. Amen. Do take a seat. I spotted at the back of the church a little box with the last few Christmas decorations that somebody had unearthed and put in a box. And here we are. Christmas is well and truly over. Epiphany is gone. And with an early Easter, it's only 2 weeks till Lent start, two and a bit. We've got the prospect this year that Ash Wednesday is on Valentine's Day. Make of that what you will. So what a treat to revisit chapter one of John's Gospel, because the peak of Christmas for me at a service of lessons and carols was stand up after all our carols and in the beginning was the Word. And I so love the placing of John's Gospel there, his prologue, that sets out all of how he's going to tell us who Jesus is. John's prologue is surely one of the mountaintops of the whole Bible, where John, after a lifetime of reflection, a lifetime of suffering, exile as a refugee in a strange land, away from family and friends, sets out who Jesus is. This man who's been pastor of the church at Ephesus, who served Jesus, and then really, I don't think you can walk too far with Christ without falling out, as he must have done, with Roman and Jewish and secular authorities, and sent off into the Isle of Patmos. But what treasure has come down over time? I love the contemporary song. It's got this verse. You were the Word in the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. And I cannot but think that John will have read our reading from Proverbs 8 about wisdom. He must have read it more than once, because if you put these two beside each other, they absolutely echo together. John simply and powerfully sets out for us the divinity of Christ. Jesus Christ is God, not just another teacher, but God incarnate, come to earth. John sets out for us what's sped out in our New Testament epistle, the importance of saving faith in Jesus Christ, that we know him, and through faith we can come into his presence. The gift of the Holy Spirit. You were the Word in the beginning. Jesus Christ is the Word. The Word was in the beginning. Jesus is God's Word made flesh for us. Not a God come down very differently from many of what our friends and neighbours believe. The gods have come to earth and then they go back to safety. But Jesus, God incarnate, is flesh, born of our flesh, lived our life, died our death to open the way to the Father. And yet Jesus was eternal. He was with God and he was God before all time and creation began. It blows that stuff. I don't know what it does for your mind, but it's beyond what can be held in between my two ears. And yet, a person who's made of stuff like me, I can understand that. What a grace of God, that one person with God the Father and the Holy Spirit, and distinct each person, but one in glory. Back to Christmas. I'm sure the author of Come All Ye Faithful must have been reading John's Gospel, chapter 1. Very God, begotten, not created. And do you know my favourite thing? Do you know this from... do you know what the Christmas chord is? It's on Christmas Eve, after midnight, when it's Christmas Day, you're allowed to sing the fourth verse. In my book, you're allowed to sing the fourth verse. Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. And you go along, and there's this chord that says, Word of the Father. And when I hear that, I call it the Christmas chord, and it brings such joy to my heart. But it's the musician bit of me is a bit geeky about it. But actually, the truth, Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Isn't that a wonderful way of putting into song what John is saying here? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Source of all life and all light. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness, the word means, has not, will not, can never overcome it. Such strength in God's truth. And then this magnificent thing goes on to really something more we can relate to, which is you and I are called to be John and Jane the Baptists. We go before Jesus to prepare the way before when he's going to come. There's a wonderful thing you can do on a Sunday that comes from the London Institute of Contemporary Christianity, where you give somebody a slot called This Time Tomorrow, and it could be anybody. And the thing is, tell us what you're going to do this time tomorrow. And it's wonderful to hear, because we're all doing different things. But the point is, whatever you're doing this time tomorrow, you're like John the Baptist. You're called to go into that place and prepare the way for God to come, to make, by conversation and relationships, in prayer, to make way for where God wants to come. Being lights, we are called to be lights, little lights, bearing witness to the true light. Isn't that amazing? Each one of us. Where do we find such wisdom? As I say these things, they're a little bit on the edge of blowing my mind to understand and apprehend. But we find such wisdom in all sorts of places. Where do we find wisdom? We find wisdom out of a life lived in growing in Christian character and the fruit of the Spirit, when we let Christ be formed in us. When we think, I haven't got all the wisdom for this. When I'm in relationships, to own the fact that, oh my goodness, some of this must be me. I know this person annoys me, but probably it's me that's annoying them. Lord, please make me more like Jesus. We find wisdom in lives lived well. Many cultures that are better than ours will honour those who are old and elders and wise people. It can be kind of taken for granted by those who are old in oppressing the young, and that's not quite the point. But a life lived, walked with God, live with suffering, live with prayer, we find wisdom. We find wisdom in another place. Do you know, it's like, have you heard the phrase, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings? We actually find wisdom in little children. And the reason for that, one of the reasons for that, is they haven't been messed about by the world as long as we have. And they see things somehow in a very different way. And I think there's a place in the life of the church, on occasions, where everybody comes together to worship. Not that we put the children over there and give them something to draw while we get on with the real thing, but we are all together because we can all learn something from each other, and we can learn wisdom from the innocence and spontaneity of children and the way they see things. And they learn from us. We have whole systems in society, in the church, for them to learn as well. But it's just another place to find wisdom, intergenerational worship. It's very interesting. My kind of story is kind of, I've been in charismatic so-called churches for a long time, and I've done teaching on spiritual gifts. But what's interesting is one of the classic lists of spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians, gifts of the Spirit are this, and you want to think, or you're a bit scared to think, ooh, prophecy, miracles, speaking in tongues, healing, da-da-da-da. But at the top of the list, you find wisdom. And people sometimes skate past that, because wisdom is not only formed in us by life, but it's a gift from God when we ask him for that. Wisdom tells us how to live our lives well. Wisdom tells us when we got a vision for something, we don't rush into it, but we ask God, how do I do this? Who's involved? When will this happen? Looking for God to be at work. Wisdom means that Christ is at the center of my life, and I make choices to look after my relationship with God. It's not just, I need to do this on Sundays. I can see from all of you, you know that. But I don't think we need to know new things as much as we need to be reminded of what we already know. Having Jesus at the center of my life and making room for that is a lifelong journey. And similarly, whose church is this? It's not the Vicar's Church or St. Andrew's Church. It's the Church of Jesus Christ. It's his church. He's the Lord of the church. And how do we put Jesus at the centre? And I think we are called, therefore, to be worshippers first and doers second. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you, Jesus, are the head of the body, the church. You are the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that in everything you would have the supremacy. Come among us, Lord, you who are Lord of the church. Come to us, and Lord, we want to make room for you in our own lives. Just be quiet for a minute and allow you to make your own prayer to God. Lord, we offer you our hearts and lives. Come into our hearts and into your church for your glory. Amen. Let's declare our Christian